Okay, we're starting here at the top of Mem Ted Amud Aleph, four lines down. Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerachia says, Amar, Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerachia, Imalei tefilato shel David, not been to the tefilah of David, you call Yisrael mochrei revav. They were in sellers of revav. Rashi has pointed out that revav seems like fats, but something is davar ma'ust, something is disgusting, like chelev and shuman, and it sticks to your clothing, and it makes you all disgusting, and people, only poor people would be involved in such profession. So had it not been for the tefillah of David, then all Yisrael would have been poor and would have to have been a suk in professions that are normally taken by the poor. Shenemar, because it says, Shita Hashem morad lahem, that Hashem should strike or put into them the fear. And as Rashi points out over there, the psukim in Tehillim beforehand and afterwards speak about the fact that it says, Ki lo ni netzach ishkach evyon, that not forever will the poor person be forgotten, tikvat aniyim tovad la'ad, and that the hope of the aniyim will not be left forever, and that Hashem will place fear in the other nations, because how does He place fear in them? That He will give them marut, those aniyim, He'll give them self-respect and self-worth, and how does He give the aniyim that self-respect and self-worth? By giving them osher, by giving them monetary means, therefore the other nations will be knowing, hey, gim bahem kavod, we'll give them kavod, du'a goyim, that the other goyim will know that they were enosh, that they're just people and not gods, meaning that they don't rule over the others and they will have to treat them with respect. So another member from Rabbi Law, Rabbi Law, Rabbi Vachay, Malay, Tfilato Shel Chavakuk, had it not been for the Tfil Chavakuk, you based on the Chachamim, Mitkatsim, Mitalit Achad, Voskim, Mitorah. Two Tamini Chachamim would have been covered in one, you know, piece of garment and one clothing, and then minosik v'torah, mipnei oni, because of the poverty. Shenem Hashem, shamati shimacha, Hashem, I've heard your name, yareti Hashem pala, palacha, I've seen your great wonders or your works, I know of your great works, v'kereb shanim chayeu, in our day or in our years, bring them back. So the Gemara says, al tikra v'kereb shanim, don't say in our years or in our time, bring them back, ela, Bikiru Shnayim, right, with the closeness of two. So now, based on that, we say, right, Yareti Hashem Palacha, what's the works of Hashem? That is the Torah. So the works of the Torah, Bikiru Shnayim, is done with the proximity of two, meaning that there would be two Tamei Chachamim wrapped in one cloth. Chayeyu, give them life, meaning give them the means by which they will not have to learn in that manner, and they'll be able to sustain themselves and buy their own clothing and have their own talit. And another member from Rabbi Law, Rabbi Law bar Yivarchia, Shnei Tamid Yechamim Amalchim Baderech, they go on the way, Ve'en B'nehem Divrei Torah, and they're not speaking to Torah, Ru'im Nisareif Ba'esh, they're worthy of being burnt up in a fire, Shenemar, Ve'hi Hema Hochim Haloch Bedaber, Yenei Rechavesh, this is talking about Eliyahu and Elisha, that when Hashem takes Eliyahu back up to the Shemaim, he goes in, Ba'esh Tzara Shemaima, it says that they were walking and speaking. What were they walking and speaking? They were speaking about Divrei Torah. And then a Rechavesh comes down. Had it not been for the fact they were speaking Torah, they would have been consumed by that Ish. Then from that, the law learns that if a person's walking along the way, the Mechamim are walking, they're not speaking in Torah, then they are Ru'im the Serif. Why? Time of the Ika Dibur, because they were speaking in Torah. Like a Dibur, had they not been speaking in Torah, Ru'im the Serif. They would have been worthy of being burnt. Another member from Ilah, Amr of Ilah, Bar Yivarchia, Shnei Tamechim Adarim Be'ir Achat, two Tamechim live in a single city, Ve'enochim Zeba Zeba Alacha, that they don't discuss or treat each other properly with a proper respect, Nacha, Achad Meit, Ve'achad Gola, one of them dies, and one of them goes into Galgalut, Shenema, Lanush Shem Roteach, Asher Yitzach Et Re'u Bevlidat, that the Roteach, the one who kills, will go, has to run away to the Ir Miklat, right, because he killed his friend, the Bivlidat. So what does it mean, Bivlidat, without dat? Ve'en dat, elo Torah. And dat is Torah, Shnemar, because it says in Hosea, Nidmu ami mi bli adat. Right, my nation is like one who does not have dat. And the psukim before that in Hosea say, V'tishkach Torah elokecha, that you will forget the Torah of your God, and therefore my nation will be as if they have no dat, they have no knowledge about dat. So we see dat, or Blidat refers to the Torah. So over here we have Anusham Rosh Hashanah Sereo Blidat, that he killed his friend. How did he kill his friend? The lidat in Torah, because they did not treat each other properly, since they didn't teach each other and they didn't learn from each other. Therefore, they had the punishment. That one of them will die because the killer kills, and then one of them galut because the killer kills b'shogeg, ends up in galut. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Breid Rabbi Chia, Kol Chacham Osek B'Torah Metochel Tchak, Tfilato Nishmat. Anytime a Chacham that continues to learn Torah, even despite the difficulties, then his Tfilah will be heard. Shenema, because it says in Yeshayahu, Ki Am B'Tzion Yeshev B'Yerushalayim, the nation of Tzion will be sitting, living in Yerushalayim, B'Cholo Tifcheh, that nation that's sitting in Yerushalayim, do not cry anymore. Chanoni achnucha, the call the akecha, right, that Hashem will hear and will respond to the call, your cry, the sound of your cry. Kishamato anach, and when he hears you, he will respond to you. Uchti batrei, and it says right after that in the following pasuk in Yeshayahu, Venatan lachem ad Hashem lechem tzar umayim lachatz. That Hashem will give you lechem tzar, right, bread of affliction or difficulty, or mayim lachatz, and water under duress or pressure. So Rashi, the way Rashi explains this is that the next pasuk was telling you about whom the pasuk before was speaking about. Who are the Am B'Tzion Yeshev B'Yerushalayim? Those are the ones that have lechem tzar or mayim lachatz. Those people that have difficulty in making ends meet. They're the Am B'Tzion B'Yerushalayim. And there it says, Kishamato Anach, that when you call out, Hashem will answer you. Rabbi Bo Omer, Mazbino to Miziva Shekhinah, that they will sustain him from the presence of the Shekhinah. How do we know that? Because in the same pasuk, in pasuk Chet, the Kaf, after the pasuk in B'Tzion, it says, Vayuanecha ra'ot et morecha, that your eyes will see your guide or your teacher. And the fact is, who's the teacher here? The teacher is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Amar, Afin ha'pargunun al b'fanav, that the gates of heaven are never closed for him, or that the entrance to reach Hashem or Kodesh Baruch Hu will never be closed for him. Shnemar, velo yikaneif od morecha, that your teacher, your guide, Hashem, will not, lo yikaneif od, will not pull his wing over, meaning he will not hide himself or be mafsik between you and him with his wing. And that's the, who is this speaking about again? It's the person who is, right, alechem tzaru mayim lachatz, and all of these it says, and when you call out, Hashem will respond to you. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishim Rabbi Shua, Miyom Shecharab Beit HaMikdash, right, Ein Kol Yom Yom, right, once from the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, that in Yom Shein Bo Klala, there's no day that does not have a Kala curse in it. Amar Rabba, B'chol Yom Yom, Rubu HaKlalato Shel Mishel Chavirot. On each day, the klala, the curse, is greater than the day before. Shenemar, it says, in the tochucha, baboker, tomar mi yitain erev. In the morning, you'll say, who will give me the night? Ube'erev, and at night, you'll say, mi yitain boker, will give me the morning again. Hi, boker. Which morning are you referring to? Ilem obach boker the machar, you're talking about tomorrow morning. Mi yada mahavi. Right? You don't know what's going to be better, if it's going to be any better than tonight. Oh, the khalif, it must be that the day that passed. Right, that the boker in the morning that had just passed. So you will say at night, give me back the morning from before, because yesterday was better than today. I mean, each day deteriorates, is worse than the day before. So Be'ela Alma Amayim Kamekayim. If that's the case, that every day gets worse and the klala gets worse, then what sustains the world? So it says, Akedusha Desidra Vaheshme Rabu De'agadato. That's from the Kedusha Desidra. Dusha the Sidra is the Seder Dusha, that's what we say in Uvalatzion. And the Heshme Rabba Vagato is the Kaddish, the Rabbanan, that said after the learning. So Rashi says in both of these instances you have something, you have Torah, Limuda Torah, and Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and Kiddush Hashem, that's done by everyone. So if you look in Rashi, it's a very, very important Rashi over here, Kiddusha the Sidra. Seder Kedusha, Shalot Taknu Elish Yehei, why did they establish Uvalatzion and the Seder Kedusha? Every person in Bnei Yisrael can learn Torah each day. Devar muat, just a little bit. Shomer kriyato, because he says the psukim that we quote in Valetzion, vitar gumo, and then they're translated into Aramaic so that everyone can understand. V'henko skim b'torah, it's as if they're learning Torah, because they learn the psukim and then they give the explanation of the psukim. The Kevin Shinoheg Bechol Yisrael, since every Jew does this, B'Talmidim Uvamay Amei Aretz, both the Talmidei Chachamim and the Amei Aretz, right? So now you have Gishkan Shtayim, Kedushat Hashem, V'Talmud Torah, Chavivu, because here you have Kedushat Hashem and Talmud Torah, and that protects them. V'Chein, the same thing is true, V'Heishmei Rabbim Baruch, Shonim Achar HaGadah. Right after the Agadah, Darshan Doresh Barabim, the Agadah said that he darshans in Rabim, B'chol Shabbat, Hayonogim Kach, that they used to give a drasha, an Agadic drasha, every Shabbos, Shema Yunikvatsim Kola Am Lishmoa, and all the people would get together to hear the drasha, the feast, Eno Yom Shal Malacha, because it's not a work day. The Eishkan, again, we have Torah and Kiddush Hashem. So the qualifications of these two items that make it, that they are able to protect us, or make the days, or take away some of the Kola that belongs to the days, is that there has to be Limud HaTorah and Kiddush Hashem, but not only Limud HaTorah and Kiddush Hashem, but as the Limud HaTorah and Kiddush Hashem that involves everyone, not just the Talmid Chacham, but even the Amei Aretz, and everyone participates together in these this learning and this Kiddush Hashem. And that's why, at the end of davening, when we see Uvod Tzion, it's so important, number one, to pay attention to what we're saying, and number two, is that the halacha is that one can't leave before they say Uvod Tzion with the minyan, because that's an important part. As we see here, it's a very important part of davening. It has to do with the Limud HaTorah Kol Yom. And even though, and that's why we, on Shabbos, since we have the Torah laning in the morning, and we have the Haftorah, there's no need for us to have Uvod Tzion in the morning. But because to not have the Gzeirah be knocked out or be taken away, we put the Bachses, we put Uvod Tzion in the Ashrei after Mincha, just to remember the general takana that we have Uvod Tzion each day. But since it's not necessary in the morning, because we have the Limud HaTorah, and we have Aliyei Targum, and we have the Haftorah, therefore we don't need to say Uvod Tzion, because we have that Limud HaTorah Idei Kulam, and we have the Kiddush Hashem there without saying Uvod Tzion. And how do we know this? Shenemar Eretz Efata Kmo Ofel, that the lightness of this land is dark. Right, Talmavis, it's a death, a valley of death, the lo starim, and it's not organized, it's all in disarray. Ha, this is talking about, in Eob, he's talking about the Fahim HaGehenim or something, a very, very bad place, where their light is darkness. And why is it? So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Why is the place, or why is it Eretz Ephraim Ophel, why is it dark there? Because lo starim, it's in disarray. Hayesh Darim, if it was organized and put together, then Tofiyah Me'ofel, one would be removed from that darkness or saved from that darkness. And Rashi says, what are the Starim? Sidrei Parshiot to Torah. Those are the Starim of the Torah, learning Torah, or Torah was that which protects us from that darkness. So also the Mishnah says, after the Churban Habayit, Lo Yered HaTal of Racha, V'dital Tam HaPeirot, and then Gemara says, comment on that, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon HaZomer, Tahara Batla Tam Vereach. When the Tahara left, when the Hakpada on Tahara left Klal Yisrael, then the taste and the smells, the good taste and smells of the fruits, left. Meaning that because Bnei Yisrael were Tahor, and they were Makbid on Tahara, Hashem was also Metaher, the fruits, so they only had good smells and good taste. Maser, once they stopped giving maestros, once Bitel maestro, Bitel Shumana Dagan, then the fats or the crops, the great crops were no longer there, because what is the maser? Maser is called, right, chelev yitzar. So the word chelev is used by maser. So when the maser went away, so did the chelev of the dagan. Rav Huna eshkach tumrata dechininuta. So Rav Huna found this type of date, the date of chininuta, which is a very fat date, that has a really good smell, and it's a unique species of dates. Shakla Kracha Besudra. He took it and he wrapped it up in his clothing, in his scarf. Out to Rabba Bray, his son Rabba came by. Amalei Morchina Recha de Chininuta. I smell the smell of this type of date, this date of Chanunita. Amalei Bini Tara Yeshbucha. Says, you must be Tahor, because you were Zochet to smell this date. One who can smell, or can smell this, have this smell, must be that he is Tahor. So Yavan Yale, he gave it to his son, Rabba. Adahachi Ata Abba Bray. In the interim, Rabba's son, Abba, came by, meaning that Rav Huna was his grandfather. Shakli Yavan Yale. So Rabba gave to his son, to Rav Huna's grandson, the date. Amalei b'ni samachta libi v'kita chinai. Says you made my heart happy, warmed my heart, and then you basically knocked my teeth out or gave me a bitter return. Why? Because you showed me that you love your son more than you love me. Because you were willing to take the date from me and give it to your son. So Hainu de Amre Inches is the common thing that Rachme de Abba Bene, right, the love of father is to his children, Rachme Bene, but the love of the children, Abene, are in their own children. Abene had the Abulu, and the children that he has, meaning that a father does not get reciprocated from his own son the type of love that he invests in his son. The love that the father gives to the son is not necessarily reciprocated, but rather that son gives over that love to his son, which is the grandson of the father. And that's what happened in this instance, where Avuna gave the date to his son Rabba, which he was willing to invest and give it to him. But then when Rabba turned around and gave it to his own son, right, Avuna says, you took it from me and gave it to your son. Had it been, it would have been nicer if you had given it back to me than rather than to your own son. He took care of his grandson through his daughter, who was Rav Yaakov. He brought him up. When he grew up, he said to him, can you bring me some water? Can you feed me water? He says, I'm not your son. I don't have to service you. I don't have to give you that kibud aveim. This is a common saying, Rabbi, bring me up. But I am your grandson, so I do not have to reciprocate. I don't have to treat you like a son would treat a father, and to give you that kavod. So even though there might be a requirement of kibud aveim to a grandparent, it's obviously not on the level of the kibud aveim that's required for a parent. Right now, the next Mishnah continues the idea that in the time of the destruction, there were certain takanot of gzeirot that took place. So it says, "Bepumus shel asfasianos." So in Pumus, Rashi translates Pumus as chel, that the armies. Whereas the Rambam says Pumus means the time frame or the era of Asfasianos is Vespasian. So when the time of Vespasian came to lay siege on or came to attack the Yerushalayim, Gazrua Tarot Chatanim, Bali Rus. So it goes there that the Chatanim will not go out with the Tarot, and now with the Rus, which the Gemara will deal with what they are. But Pumus shel Titus. And again, either with the armies or the siege of Titus. Titus was the son of Asfasianus, so the son of Vespasian. And after Vespasian was appointed to be the emperor after Nero had passed away, then Titus, his son, took over and eventually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He was in laid siege to Gemara and Gittin, laid siege to Yerushalayim, and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Pumas Shel Titus, Gazru al Atarot Kalot. At that point, they were gozer not only on the Atarot Chatanim, but even on the crowns of the reeds of the Kalot. And the other item that he shouldn't teach his son, Yevanit, Greek. But Pumos Ha'achron, in the final, right, Pumos, Gazru Shalote Tea Kala, the Apirion. They made a Gzera that a Kala should not go out in a Apirion, which was some sort of housing or, Chuppah that she used to go out of Betochayir. But they know Yitiru Shalote Tea Kala, Apirion, Betochayir. There are Rabbanan, Ramatir, that the Kala should go out in such an item, because it was done for tzniut, and therefore, since it was done for tzniut, they said it wasn't appropriate that they stopped doing that, because by taking it away, despite the difficulties that were happening to the Jewish people, but being gozer on this, were actually detracting from the tzniut of Yisrael, and therefore they didn't feel it was appropriate. Now, what is the Pumus Shel Titus and the Pumus Achron? So Rashi here has a very, very interesting explanation, which the Tosfos in Meruba, the Tosfos in Baba Kama, jumps on. So Rashi over here says, what is Pumus Shel Titus? She says, she vi horpunus aristobulus achiv. So Rashi says, Pumus Shel Titus is the civil war between Horpunus and Aristobulus, who were two children of the Hashmonaic dynasty. Thereafter, Shlomtzion HaMalko. They fought at a civil war. In order to settle the civil war, Horkonos brings in Rome, Pompey, to help him to conquer Yerushalayim and to conquer Aristobulus, his brother, his younger brother, who was inside of Yerushalayim. So, and then Rashi says, only 50, there were 52 years between the Pumas of Titus and Pumas of Vespasian. So the problem with this, obviously, is that, first of all, it's not in chronological order, because Vespasian clearly came after the Hasmonaic dynasty, or the times of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Number two is Titus, we know, is the son of Vespasian, and he's the one who laid siege to Yerushalayim and destroyed Yerushalayim. So what's Rashi talking about? So Tosus in Perek Merubah jumps right, says he doesn't understand what Rashi's talking about, because we know, again, that Titus is the son of Vespasian, he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And Rashi, now over here, because of the thing that was Pumas of Titus, he says Pumas of Achron. What is the Pumas of Achron? According to Rashi, is the Churban HaBayit. Shel Titus Nami Avi. And that was all of also of Titus. So it's down from here that Titus was the person who came in the time of the Hashmonaim, by the time of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And it was Titus was also around 150 years later and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Now, according to Rashi, we can understand what Pumas Achron is, because he had to come up. There was a Pumas of Vespasian, a Pumas of Titus, and then the Pumas Achron was the Churban HaBayit. Problem is, according to Rashi, is that Titus lived nowhere near the time of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And number two, again, in terms of the chronology, from Vespasian to Titus means that you're going back in time and then going back again afterwards to Titus again. So a lot of difficulties with this. Tosfos in Merubah says that there were actually two Takanot. There was actually a Takana in the time of Aristobulus and Hyrcanus about the Chochma Yevanit, which we're going to see in the Gemara. There's a price in the Gemara that explains that. And later on, after that Gezerah, the people didn't really accept it. But once they had the siege of Yerushalayim, and then Titus came and destroyed the Mikdash, at that point they finally accepted this Gezerah, that original Gezerah. The Marsha, on the other hand, that he gives an explanation that, very interesting, it says, V'nira od bazeh, Shizeh amai said, D'vnei beit chashumai shevi puma shal romim, that this civil war between the Hashmonaim brought the Romans in to help out, Yerushalayim haya hatchalat v'garam hachurban, this was the beginning of the destruction of Bnei Yisrael, Shavru haromim habrit, because eventually the Romans didn't keep their brit, that they would not board over them, or they would not rule over them. So the fact that Rome was brought in at the time of Hyrcanus Aristobulus was what generated or caused the beginning of the Churban. And therefore, according to the Marsha, that's why it might have been called the Pumas of Titus, even though it had nothing to do with Titus, because Titus comes much later on, and that's the Pumas Achron, the final destruction of Yerushalayim. This Pumas of Titus is really not Pumas of Titus, but rather the thing that caused the final destruction of the Mikdash, was the beginning of the end. And why was it the beginning of the end? Because that's when Rome was invited into Eretz Yisrael. And the Marsha says, interesting, Kamo Shekatov B'Sefer Ben Gurion, that's what I saw in the book of Josephus. So you see that Josephus, that's what the Marsha read, Josephus, and said that that's the order, and we know that that's what transpired there. Alright. The Rambam, on the other hand, has an alternative explanation. The Rambam over here says that Asasaios is Vespasian, Titus is Titus' destruction of the Mikdash, and Pumas Achron is now, the modern day, when the time of the person writing the Mishnah, which is Rabbi, and the Tamei Chacham at the time of Rabbi, that's the Pumas Achron, that's when they were goes there during that time, during the Malchus at that time. And again, because according to Rambam, Pumas does not mean the army, but rather the era of. So the era of Vespasian, there's the era of Titus, and then now the era, which is the contemporary era of the time that the Mishnah is being written, at the time of Rebbe. Right, continuing the Mishnah, Mishmeit the Rebbe Meir, but Lu Moshle Mashalim. When Rebbe Meir passed away, then those that made great parables were gone, and that Rebbe Meir was famous for his parables that he used to give all the time, to these types of parables. The Gemara in the Sanhedrin talks about it. And also the Gemara mentions that he, when he used to give a drasha, he used to give one third of it was a gadata, one third of it was halacha, and one third of it was mashalim. Shemit ben Azai, but lu ha-shaktanim. When Azai passed away, then the shaktanim here, which are basically a people who learned Torah on a continuous basis, someone who was a got up early and went to sleep late and was always shokeid b'Torah, was always learning Torah, that he shokeid al-daltot beit midrash, and we know about Ben Azai that he says that he didn't get married, the Gemara in Bama says either he didn't get married or he got married in divorce, because he wanted to, what could he do? Elachashka libi b'Torah, that he was so in love and so close to the Torah that he didn't want to take away or detract from any time of the Torah. So it was something that was a masmid. So Masbinim passed away with Benazim. Shemay Ben Zoma, but Lua Darshanim. When Ben Zoma passed away, then the Darshanim went away. And Rashi says, Shishaya Baki, right? He was a Baki, Betamei HaMikraot, to explain the Psukim. Because we saw, right, that's the quote in the Gemara in Brachot. By that we didn't know, Lo Tachid Shitemar Yitzir Mitzrayim, Lo Tachid Shitemar Yitzir Mitzrayim, Lo Tachid Shitemar Yitzir Mitzrayim, Lo Tachid Darsha Ben Zoma. Meshimeit Rabbi Akiva, but Lo Kvod HaTorah. When Akiva passed away, then the Kvod HaTorah was lost. So Kvod HaTorah, Rashi says, is here because he was able to doresh kol kotz v'kotz, every little piece of the Torah, every extra letter, every little tag, every little crown, he was able to be doresh. And that's Kvod HaTorah because he shows that there's nothing wasted. There's not a single thing wasted in a Torah. Shemait Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but when Anshei Maaseh, when Chanina was passed away, then the Anshei Maaseh passed away. That's the Gemara in Tanis talks about. All the famous stories of Chanina ben Dosa. Shemait Rabbi Yossi Katanta Pasku Chasidim. When Rabbi Yossi Katanta passed away, then the Chasidim were gone. But Lama Yikrashmo Katanta. Why was he called Katanta? Shaya Katanta Shel Chasidim. Because he was the smallest of the Chasidim. So Rashi writes, smallest of the Chasidim means that he was the last and the smallest. I mean, that he was the end of the line of Chasidim, and he was the smallest of those Chasidim. The Rambam, on the other hand, says, no, that Katan means over here, means that he's the Shorish, the root, or the base of all Chasidim, because the Shorish, or the root, or the seed of anything is always small. So Katusha Chasidim means he's the core of all Chasidim. Shemei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai batel Ziva Chachma. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai passed away, then the Ziva Chachma was lost. And Zeli Adana Rashi says, Zeli Adana Mahi. I don't know what this Ziv HaChachma is. Shemei Rabbi Gamliel Zakkai batel Kvod HaTorah. So again, when Gamliel Zakkai passed away, then batel Kvod HaTorah. This Kvod HaTorah is different than the Kvod HaTorah that we're talking about by Rabbi Akiva. Because here, Rabbi Gamliel means Kvod HaTorah is that they used to learn standing up. Until the time of Rabbi Gamliel, they were healthy and they used to learn standing up all the time. Once Rabbi Gamliel passed away, then they sat down to learn Torah. So that was a lack or some sort of a diminishment of Kvod HaTorah. Umeita Tara uprishut, and Tara and Prishut were lost. Mishimeit Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, Patela Ziva Kuna. When Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi passed away, then the glory of the Kuna was lost. Because Ziva Kuna, Rashi says, was he was a Chacham and Ashir, he was a Tamar Chacham, and he was wealthy, and he had many Kohanim that ate at his table. So he was something that gave glory to the Kuna. When he passed away, there was no longer glory to the Kuna. And this, Mishmeid Rabbi, Batel and Ava, Yirat Chet. When Rabbi passed away, then Anava and Yirat Chet were lost. And the Rambam points out, and the Perush Mishnah points out, that this was clearly an addendum to the Mishnah after the time of Rabbi. Rabbi Kahu, right, codified the Mishnah, or canonized the Mishnah. This was added on by his contemporaries after he passed away, was added on to the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So now here, some people include this in the Mishnah. Others say that it was a brisa that was added in later on to the Mishnah. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer Mishchar Beit HaMikdash Boshu Chavirim Ubnei Chorim. Time the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed, that Boshu Chavirim, the Chavirim, are embarrassed. Ubnei Chorin, and those that are of Yichus. V'chafu Rosham, and they hide their faces, and their faces are kept low. Why? Because, as Rashi says, G'gavro Yad Azeipanim. Right? There's been a rise in those that are Azeipanim, and those that are brazen, and Mamzeirim, those that are not of Yichus, and they lord over the others. V'nildalu Anshei Maseh. And that there are no longer anymore, or nobody looks at these Anshei Maaseh, V'gavru Balei Zroa, and those that are the strong-armed ones take over, U'Balei Lashon, and those that know how to speak with a sharp tongue, Vein Doresh, and there's no one who can look out for Bnei Yisrael, V'Eim Avakesh, Rachamim for them, V'Ein Shoel, and no one can ask Kodesh Baruch Hu, beseech Kodesh Baruch Hu on their behalf, Almi Lamali Shein, who can we rest on? Alavinu Shebashamayim, we have to go directly to Hashem, we have to rely on Hashem to save us in this era. Vazir Agadol Amer Miyom Shkrav Beit HaMikdash Sharu Chachamaya Ademevi Kisefreya, that there was a Yerida in the Olam once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So therefore the Talmid Chachamim came like teachers of the children. Sifreya Chaznaya, and the teachers of the children became like those that take care of the shul. V'chaznaya Kama Adar Aaron, those that take care of the shul became like the regular of the Ami Aretz. V'ama Adar Azla V'dildula, went and started that, were going and falling away. Rashi has a slightly different gear, so it says Adlu Nablo, that they were holchim v'dalim. They became poorer, mitnavlim, and they became all disheveled. Vein shuel v'im avakesh, there's no one to ask for Klal Yisrael and to be makesh rachmanim, al mi yesh li shayin, who can we rely on? Al avinu shubashamayim. So again, and there's one more member we're going to have exactly like this, and then we'll discuss it. We'll just make one point there. So v'yokir v'ikvod od Mashiach, the time that Mashiach comes in the end of the Galut, before Mashiach comes, chutzpah yaske, there will be a tremendous increase of chutzpah. V'yokir yamir, it's a gear since on heaven is yoker yavet, which makes a little more sense here, that the pricing system will be messed up. Why? Because I guess in Titan Periyah, there will be plenty of grapes, plenty of juice. Vayayim biyoker, nevertheless, wine will be very expensive, because Rashi says that hakoloskim mishtos, everyone's drinking, everybody loves to drink, and everybody's in the bars, so that's why the wine will be expensive. Umachute pach leminut. The malchut will change over to minut. If you look here on there, there's a note on the side that from the Dvus Amsterdam, Yashan, it says that here, vamachut shutzetet al rov olam. The kingdom that rules over most of the world, the Roman Empire, Tehele Minut, will become Minut. What does that mean? Nimshachim achar ta'ut shelo v'talmidav. Right? Niku'u minim. They'll go after the mistake of that one and his students, and they are called minim. So that's meaning that they converted to Christianity. Vein tochachot, and there's no one to give tochacha, because anybody gives tochacha, since everybody is bad, that no one can give tochacha, because anybody gives tochacha, the other person will say to him, you know, you're making the same mistakes, doing the same things as I, how can you give me tochacha? Beit vayad, the yidnus nut, the base medrash will come a place of harlots, because there will be nobody learning Torah anymore, there won't be any Talmid Chachamim around, and since the base medrash was out in the fields and far away, that will be a perfect place for the makom nut. Bagalil yecharev, and the galil will be destroyed, and bagavlan yashum, and the gavlan will be desolate, ear to ear, and the people of the borders will walk around from city to city, and nobody will take heed or notice them or take care of them. And then the knowledge of the sofrim will be lost. Yirat chet yimatsu, and people will discard those that are yirat chet. And truth will be disappear. The young ones will embarrass the older ones. And the older will have to stand up for the younger ones. Ben Minavel Av, the child will dismiss or denigrate his father. Bat Kama B'Iman, a daughter towards her mother. Kala, daughter-in-law of B'Chamutan, her mother-in-law. Oyvei Ish Anshei Beitel, the enemies of a person will be in his house itself. Pnei Ador K'Pnei Akelev, the face of the nation of that generation will be the face of a dog. Meaning that they will be Azei Panim. Abein Enu Mitbayesh Me'aviv, and a son will not be embarrassed from his father. So again, I just point out in all these cases, either with the Churban Habayit to the end of the Galut, but the idea that the Beit HaMikdash at this till this point had been the medium for which Bnei Yisrael went to worship Hashem and to get Kapara. So now once that's gone, and there's clearly a diminishment of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and that's manifested in all these different ways that are mentioned in the Brice that was brought down over here. So when the Brice in the end says, Almay Enoli Shehein, Alavinu Shvashamayim, we have to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mesit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that really Tefillah B'Makom Karbanot? The Tefillah takes over. Now that the Mikdash is destroyed, what replaces the Mikdash? What takes over from the Mikdash? That's Tefillah. So when all this happens, what do? Or who do we turn to? We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He's the one who will respond to us. He's the one who will take care of us. We can go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now, Amar Rav, that when it says in the Mishnah, the Atara that we're talking about in the Mishnah when they were going to Atarot, Lo Shana Elushal Melach Vigafrit. That's only that which is made out of salt and pitch. So Rashi says they used to take the salt to make it into like a crystal, like, and then they used to take pitch and color in on it and make pictures on it. Avoshal Das, Vishal Verid Mutar. But this type of Atara that's made out of a Hadas, a myrtle, or a verid out of rose, Mutar. Shmuel Afadas v'shel veret asur. Even if it's made out of a myrtle or hadas or veret asur, shel kanim v'shel chilat mutar. It's made out of reeds, and Rashi says chilat is a reed that grows in the water. Mutar. V'levi mar af shel kanim v'shel chilat asur. Even those are asur. V'chein tani levi matnite af shel kanim v'shel chilat asur. That there were no type of reed was mutar. V'alei rus. So we said here in the beginning, v'pumah shel asfastianos gazru al atarot chatanim v'alei rus. So we just spoke about the atarot chatanim. So they had Rav Shmuel and then Levi, who limited what was restricted. Here Levi says everything is restricted. Shmuel says that Chilat and Kanim are allowed, and Rav said even Hadas and Vered were allowed. Now, what's the Irus? What's the Irus? And the Gemara says, Fala Irus, my Irus, I'm allowed there, Tavla de Chad Puma. It's a bell that has one hitter inside, one clapper inside. Rav Ravuna, Avadlei the Bray Tambura. He made for his son for the son's wedding, he made what's the tambura? Sounds like a tambourine. And then Rashi seems to describe it as something where you take a sieve, you stretch over a piece of skin over there, then you run wires around the side of it, and that if you play, you bang on it with a stick, it makes a rhythm or a music from it, something like maybe a timbrel, something like that. It sounds more like a drum of sorts, but either a tambourine or a drum. Ha-tavua, tavre, his father, meaning Rabbi Ravuna, came and broke it. That will get mixed up with a bell with one clapper, and since that's a sewer, we won't let you use this tambourine. Should go ahead and make it on the mouth of a pitcher or of a some sort of jug in order to do it. Now, from Rashi, it sounds like this is almost like a bongo drum, where you have this large kli, and then you pull this skin over the top, and then you bang on the top. Sounds like a little bit like a bongo drum of sorts. And so those are allowed because they won't get mixed up with the tabla de chad puma. But a tambourine was not allowed, or a timbrel, according to Rashi, was not allowed because that would mix up with a tabla de chad puma. Now, puma shaltis gazu atarot kalot. What are the atarot kalot? My atarot kalot. So actually, in the Gemara and Gitin, Tosfos and Rashi argue about what these atarot are. Rashi says the atarot are actually crowns or reeds that actually go directly on the head of the individual. Tosfos says that the atarot were actually something, some sort of arch, or something that was held over the person, but that they didn't actually wear. So my atarot kalot, so we said in the time of Aspasianos, in the time of Vespasian, they got rid of the atarot katanim, they were closer to there. Now, in the time of Titus, they got rid of the atarot kalot. Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ir Shel Zahav. That is a city of gold, meaning that it was a surah of Yerushalayim that was on a headband or some sort of crown that the women used to wear. It's mentioned in the Gemara Shabbos in the Mishnah that a woman's not allowed to go out with the Ir Shel Zahav. It's also mentioned by Rabbi Akiva and his wife that he gave an Ir Shel Zahav to his wife. So even though he can't make her an ear shel zahav anymore, he can still make her a kipah shel zahav milat. So Rashi said that the kova shel tzemer, a woolen hat of some sort, or kipah hair covering, that is made out of tzemer lavan, made out of white wool. So Tana, afa chupat chatanim gazru. So what is the chupat chatanim that they were going there? My chupat chatanim, but the chupat zehorit hamuzhavot. That's a zehorit hamuzhavot. Rashi says talit zvuashani. It's a talit that is some sort of a beggar, a talit that's colored crimson. Ovokvuim tasei zahav, and it has metal sheets made out of gold that are stretched out on it that hold it up. It's almost like an umbrella or a canopy of sorts that was made by taking this crimson talit and having these golden pieces, golden sheets of a metal, hold it up so that it stays upward or it stays stretched out. Even though you can't make that anymore, you can make a papirit. And you hang whatever you want onto it. Rashi says, what is a papirit? It says, you mean kippah shel magalei eitz. It's some sort of covering that's made out of sticks or round wood. Like we do today, we're talking about snifim for the day to have. We hang items from it and golden boards or pounded metal. Like we do today. So that's allowed, even though they was a chupat chatanim, you could do something that was a lower level. In all these instances, either they got rid of it entirely, which was first they got rid of the atarot chatanim, but with regards to the bride, they left that. But when things got worse, they also got rid of the atarot kalot. And then they also tried to get rid of the Irus, that went together with the Chatanim. Then they got rid of the Atarot Kalot, and then they tried to get rid of Chupat Chatanim. In all these instances, even there were goes there by the Kala. When it dealt with the Kala, they tried to downgrade it. They didn't get rid of it entirely, but they downgraded it so that the Kala could still be beautiful and find favor in her husband's eyes. This is probably what pushed Rashi to explain in the Mishnah that the Puma Shel Titus was that of Hurpanos and Aristobulus, because over there it says they would go there on the Chachma Yivanit, and that the person can't teach Yivanit. And here the Gemara is going to explain that this has to do with the battle of Hurpanos and Aristobulus. When there was a civil war between Aristobulus and Hurpanos, Hurpanos mi bachutz, Hurpanos, the older brother, was outside, Aristobulus mi mifim, was inside of Yerushalayim, and they were laying teacher. Every day they used to lower money out of Yerushalayim to the forces outside. And they used to send in the korban tamid, so the korban tamid to continue to be brought in the Mikdash. Inside the city there was one zakat, he knew chachma yivanit. He hinted toward them and winked toward them chachma yivanit. He said to them, as long as you provide the tamidim here, you'll never get inside the city. That's what's protecting them. The next day, the people of Aristobulus put down money to get the korban tamid, the kupah, and instead they brought up a pig. Once it reached halfway up the wall, it placed it planted its nails into the wall. And Eretz Yisrael shook 400 amot. So at that moment they said, Aru Adam Shigadel Chazarim. Number one, is Aru anybody who brings up pigs? And number two, Aru Adam Shalomed Beno Chachma Yivanit. Right? And that Aru is anyone who teaches his son Chachma Yivanit. Well, Tasha Nashaninu, on that year it's written, because of the civil war and the siege around Yerushalayim, I say, Va Omer Migagot Srifim, that the Omer that year had to come from so far away as Gagot Srifim, which they left me back because ain't so cher, because since they had laid ruin to all that was around Yerushalayim from the sieging forces, therefore there was nothing available that was fresh near Yerushalayim, and they had to go to either faraway places. Either they didn't go to their regular places, or it wasn't fresh, as Rashi points out here, and they had to go to faraway places. So over here, the Marsha points out, this is where Tosfos says, that originally the Gzerah of Chachma Yivanit was at the time of the Beit Chashmonai with Aristobulus and Hurpanos, but the people didn't accept it, and later it was reinstituted at the time of Titus, and then it was, or then it came into force, and it was kept at that point in time. By the way, Tosfos Marsha, and then I told you, gave that explanation that why Rashi says this, that the Aristobulus, the civil war of Aristobulus and Hurpanos, who brought in the Romans, was the beginning of the destruction. That's what led to the destruction of the Mikdash, Al-Yidei Titus. And that's what he says over here, is the hint of the Chazir. What does he mean that he put up the Chazir? Chazir relates to Esav, his representative Esav, which is Malchut Romi. And therefore, this was the beginning, by putting in the pig that put its nails into the wall, that was Rome, who was eventually going to get Shlita over the walls of Yerushalayim, that was Titus. So over Yerushalayim, he was going to destroy them, and therefore Eretz Yisrael shook, because this was the beginning of the end. The Gemara says, Ini, is it really true that you're not allowed to teach Chachma Levininit? Bama Rabbi, Eretz Yisrael lo shon Sursi, and Eretz Yisrael, there's this language called Sursi. Rashi says the Sursi is, it's close to Aramaic, and he thinks that that's the Lashon, the language that's used in the Gemara Yerushalmi. It's very interesting. Lama, what do we need it for? Ela, I Lashon HaKodesh, either speak in Hebrew, or Lashon Yivanit, or speak in Greek. Because since they were close with the Greeks, and it was close to the land of Israel, and it's a much nicer Lashon, it's a much nicer language, as we say, Yafet Bo Leishem, that's the language of Lashon Yivanit, as the Gemara Megillah says. So therefore, you should speak in Hebrew or Yivanit, but not Sursi. In Bavel, what do we need Aramaic for? Speak in Hebrew, or Lashon Parshi, or speak in Persian. So what do you see? You can see, you hear, you can speak Yivanit. So what do you mean you can't teach your child Yivanit? When it says, Lashon Yivanit L'chud, the language of Yivanit is one thing, but Chachma Yivanit L'chud, and the knowledge of Yivanit is different. So the Rambam in Persian Mishnah, in the Mishnah, explains what is Chachma Yivanit. This was a unique language that was used by the aristocracy of the Greek aristocracy that they used to speak. It wasn't even a spoken word. It was used hints and code words that was known only to the aristocracy, and that was what explained this man inside of Yerushalayim spoke out to the people outside by using this sort of communication or form of communication to get out. So it was a unique form of communication that was relegated to the aristocracy, and the Rambam says that it was lost. Today we don't have any remnant of that Yivanit. So the Gemara says, the Chacham Yivanit me'atira. Even the Chacham Yivanit, who says it's Asur, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum, Rav Shimon, Ben Gamliel, Ma'ay Dichtiv, what does it say in Eichad, the Pasuk, Eini Olala, Menafshi, Mikol, Benot, Yiri, my eyes are in grief, my soul, because of all that happened to the children of my city. Elav Yiladim, Ayub, Beit Abo, there were 1,000 children in the house of my father, Chamesh Meot Lamdu Torah, 500 of them were learning Torah, Chamesh Meot Lamdu Chachmat Yivanit, and 500 of them learned Chachma Yivanit. So you see in the house of Ben Gamliel, they're learning Chachma Yivanit. Lo nishtar mehem elod ani. Kan, the only one left over is me here. Uben Achi, and the son of my brother, my nephew, Abba, Oben Achi Abba, and the son of my father's brother, meaning my first cousin, Ba'asya. Shiny, so the Gemara says, Shiny shall bait Rabbi Gamliel, the Kovil, the Machut Abba. No, Rabbi Gamliel, the house of Rabbi Gamliel was different because they had to deal with the Malchus, they had to deal with the king and with the government. Titania, Misapur Komi, Harizeh, Midarche, and Mori. One who gets a haircut like a Komi, that's Midarche, and Mori, and that's usher to do. Because what they used to do is they used to shave the front of their heads, the whole front of their heads, and they used to leave the back of the head and make it into a ponytail. The Gemara says, the fight that Abtulus ben Ruben, Etirulo, the Saper Komi, Shukar Lamachut. Nevertheless, Abtulus ben Ruben, they led him to get such a haircut because he was someone who needed to deal with the government on behalf of the Jews. And since he was the Jewish liaison to the government, they let him get such a cut, such a haircut, because the whole purpose of that haircut was to allow him to mingle with the government officials in order to benefit the Jews. Again, and the Chachma Yemenit, even though it was restricted to others, nevertheless, it was either a dispensation for the Beit Rabbi Gamliel Machut, or the original Gezerah never included those that needed to deal with the government. That last part of the mission, Puzla Achon Gazur Shlote Tse Kalabar Priyom, my time, why did they allow the Mishum Tsniusa? Why did they chamimatir it? Because of Tsnius, they wanted to allow the Kala, meaning that the Priyom was valuable not just for its beauty, but also to keep the Kala Tsnua when she went through the city. Mishmeit Rabbi Yochanan Boto Chochma, Tarnabana. Mishmeit Rabbi Lezer Nignas Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Lezer died, then the Sefer Torah went into Gniza. Why? Because he was a Baki in Halachot. He knew everything. He knew all the Shmuot, right? And everything was clear and throughout the feast. Shmeit Rabbi Yoshua Batla Itza Umach Shava. When Rabbi Yoshua passed away, then Itza Mach Shava were gone, Rashi explained, because he was Zahir Bishdrashot Ubakiba Halachot. And Ubechuvot ha-pikorsim. He knew how to respond to the apikorsim, ulahavin b'rimazayim, and understand there what they were trying to accomplish. So he was a great proponent for the Jewish people. And when he passed away, we lost Eitz HaMachshava. Umeshimeit Rabbi Akiva batlu zroei Torah. So when Rabbi Akiva passed away, we lost the strong of the Torah, meaning that omek svara, those that could dig into the depths of understanding and to explain the Tamei Torah Shebal Peh and explain that which is in Torah Shebal Peh inside of Torah Shebichtav. And that's why in the Mishnah, when I said Kavoda Torah, that's what the reference here to. It's not the Kavoda Torah of Rabbi Gamliel, but rather Kavoda Torah in the sense of understanding and the ability to reach the depths of Torah. We just start Mu Mayanot HaChachma, and the Mayanot HaChachma were closed. The springs of Chachma were closed. Mishmeit Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Batlu Atarot Chachma. Then when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah passed away, the Atarot, the crowns of Chachma, were lost. Atarot Chachamim Ushram. Because the crown of the Chachamim is their wealth, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a very wealthy man. Shemeit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa batlu Ashe Maase, as we said in the Mishnah. Shemeit Abba Yossi ben Katnuta batlu Chasidim. Falam Yikra Shema Abba Yossi ben Katnuta Sheya Mekatnei Chasidim. Again, what we explained in the Mishnah. Shemeit ben Azariah batlu Ashaktanim. Like in the Mishnah, then he was the Masmidim passed away with ben Azariah. Ben Shemeit ben Zoma batlu Adarshanim. Because he was a Doresh. So we said in the Mishnah. Shemeit Rabbi Shimon Leal. Allah Govai, when Rabbi Shimon Leal passed away, then the pestilence or the locust came. Rabu Tzarot, and many difficulties came to Bnei Yisrael. Shemeit Rebbe, Huch Pelu Tzarot. When Rebbe passed away, they doubled the problems that they were having. Shemeit Rebbe, Batla Nova Virat Chet. When Rebbe passed away, then another year, they were gone. Amalei Rav Yosef, Latana, Lo Titne Anava. So that Rav Yosef, Latana, don't write Anava when Rebbe gone, Deik Anav, because I am, which I'm a tremendous Anvutanatan. Right? I'm a tremendous anvatan. I'm a Rav Nachman Latan. Rav Nachman said Latan, lo titnei yirat chet, ikana, because I'm a tremendous yare chet. So in each of these cases, they were not showing off or trying to show off, but they wanted the Tana to write the Brisa or to explain things properly, and they felt it was improper to say, Mishmeit Rebbe, batlanova, yirat chet. Okay, we'll stop here.